The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Would you take your Bible this morning and turn to John's Gospel for these final few moments of our service? Thank you, choir and orchestra, for presenting the truth of Jesus Christ, something that everyone should believe. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to read in just a moment verse number 1, and then we're going to read verses 12, 13, and 14. John chapter 1 and verses 1 and then verses 12, 13, and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's say that verse together. Ready? Ready, begin. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Christmas story is a story of God who became man and the story of men who believed on Him. First there was Mary, then Joseph, then the shepherds and the wise men. And since that time, there have been millions and millions of people who have believed that Jesus is the Son of God. They have believed that Jesus Christ alone can cover their sin, and they have believed on His name for their salvation. And that's what the Bible tells us in verse 14. And the Word, that eternal Word, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The songwriter gave us the words, and the singer sang just a moment ago about Emmanuel. And that word Emmanuel comes from Isaiah's prophecy, and it certainly means today God with us. He who resided in heaven, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and with the Spirit, willingly descended to this earth to be with us. He came to our world. He breathed our air. He felt our pain. He knew our sorrow, and He suffered for our sin. Emmanuel, God with us. Spurgeon said, "He who never began to be, but eternally existed, began to be what He eternally was not, and continued to be what He eternally was." Jesus, in coming to this earth, in being born of the Virgin, never stopped being God. He was eternally God. He is eternally God. And while He was here on this earth in the form of man, He was the God-man. The question this morning, then, is not, did Jesus come? That is a stated fact. It is an historical truth. Jesus came to this earth. The question this morning is, do you believe? And not merely do you believe in the historical fact, but do you believe in Jesus Christ exclusively to be your Savior, the forgiver of your sin, the provider for you of a home in heaven? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I remind you this morning that your faith, your belief, is only as good as its object. And we must recognize that our object is the Lord Jesus Christ. I came across a collection of letters years ago written by some children to Santa Claus. And one little boy wrote this note. He said, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before. This is your last chance." Now, I think the problem with the young boy is that he had placed his trust in the wrong source. He had put his faith in the wrong one to provide for him. Your faith and mine is only as good as its object. And this morning, I want you to consider with me why we believe. The first thing I want you to notice today is the basis of our belief. The basis of our belief is the Word of God. And we must have the proper basis or our faith is misplaced. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now let me tell you what we believe about this book this morning. We believe that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, this is not man's book. This is not man's story we are celebrating. This is God's book. This is God's story that we are celebrating today. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is a God-breathed book. And in Romans 10 and verse 17, we read, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So our faith is only as good as its basis, and the basis of our faith is the infallible, inerrant, and preserved Word of God. Now, the Word of God must be heard. Every one of us today must give it a hearing. And someone might wonder, well, why did God choose Nazareth, that little hole-in-the-wall town with a couple of hundred Roman soldiers? Why did God choose Nazareth to be the origination of this wonderful Christmas story? And I believe it is because there in Nazareth, there was a pure and a holy woman who would hear God. She would listen to what God had to say to her. Think of what God said to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Imagine that. Imagine God coming to this young woman, Mary, and saying to her, "The Holy Ghost will overshadow thee. That which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And Mary willingly heard the message from the Lord. Mary was many wonderful things. She was a pure woman. She was a prepared woman. She was certainly a godly woman, highly favored amongst women. But I believe one of the great attributes of Mary is that she was a woman who heard God speak to her. No matter what else happens in the next 5 or 10 minutes, I just want to challenge you today. Look past me and past the choir behind me and just listen to God's word and let it speak to your heart. Because the word is the basis for our faith. Joseph had to do the same thing. The Bible says in Matthew 1:24 that Joseph was raised from a sleep as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took his wife, and he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I just want to thank God this morning that Mary and Joseph heard the word of God. But not only must the word be heard, it must also be received. Now, many people hear the word sort of like they hear television and radio and talk radio. And sometimes if we're not careful, coming to church or opening our Bible is just more noise added to our noise collection. So this morning we want to move beyond hearing and we want to get to the place of receiving the word of God. That engrafted word, let it come into your heart. And that is exactly again what Mary did. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Luke 1:38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." All right? "Be it unto me according to thy word." Would you say that phrase with me, please? "Be it unto me." So Mary didn't just hear what God said. Mary believed and received what God said. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That's what John 1:12 says. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." It wasn't just those who heard what the gospel said, but they received the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. And so the basis of our belief is the word of God. The word of God must be heard, and the word of God must be received. And so oftentimes, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Doesn't understand the Bible. Could care less about Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has never received by faith the message of Jesus Christ. And so the basis of our belief is the Word of God. It's not the Baptist church. It's not the Catholic church. It's not any tradition. The basis of our faith is the Word of God. But I want you to think secondly with me this morning about this subject, the baseline of our belief. And what I mean by that is when someone receives Christ by faith, at the very baseline of response, there is going to come forth from their life a confession of that faith. It is the very baseline or the beginning point of their faith. Romans 10 and verse 10 says it this way. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made. Now, there are many ways that one might confess his faith. And certainly the Bible speaks of them. For example, baptism is a way that we confess our faith. When someone is baptized, they're confessing their faith. When someone is faithful for years to the Word of God and to the things of God, that is a sort of a confession. When someone is convicted of sin and repents of that sin, furthermore evidence of their having faith, a real relationship with Jesus Christ. But at the very beginning, when someone is saved, at the very baseline of that relationship, there will be the confession of that relationship with Christ. You know what I've found in my life is that when somebody believes in something, they talk about it. When somebody really believes in Jesus Christ, they're going to confess that with their mouth. And that's exactly what happened with the shepherds. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I want to tell you something, my friends, this morning. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, don't hesitate to let someone know what's in your heart. Don't hesitate to let them know what you believe. They're not going to hesitate tomorrow to let you know about Las Vegas or let you know about the latest party or the latest gossip or their favorite sports team. But we ought not to hesitate to let this world know that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the shepherds did. From their heart, they confess with their mouth what they believe. That's what the wise men did when they brought their gifts. In Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says they came into the house and they worshiped him and they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You see, whenever there is the basis of your faith, the Word of God, then the baseline of that faith is going to be shown forth in the confession. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of my faith in Jesus Christ. This past week, I had the privilege of preaching in the country of Romania in Eastern Europe. And we were there with our missionaries and friends and national pastors from different countries, including Serbia and including Hungary and up into the Ukraine. And missionaries came in from all over that part of the world. And we were there with Brother Tim and Debbie Tyler, our missionaries. Tim and Debbie were friends of ours even in Bible college. They did a wonderful job planting a church, and we preached in their church there in Timișoara, and then we preached to the missionaries and the national pastors in a nearby town, and God certainly blessed, and we met a lot of very interesting people. But probably no one as interesting as this man, Dan, that I'd like to introduce you to this morning. And as I met Dan, I said, Dan, tell me your testimony, tell me your story. Dan became a Christian as a teenager while Romania was still under communism. He lived his life under the harsh rule of a man by the name of Ceausescu. Dan and his friends loved the Lord, but they were unable to witness publicly. They were unable to hold meetings for the church at night. And in fact, after Ronald Reagan said his famous speech and gave those words, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down, many of the Iron Curtain countries began to have freedom, and yet in Romania, Ceausescu held on even tighter, and he made a rule that there would be no lights on after dark, and many of the young Christians so desperately wanted to be able to witness for Christ and to have freedom. And one night, Dan and some of his friends gathered in the city square of Timișoara, and the sun was now setting, and they knew that if there was no light, they would have to go home. And Dan got the idea that he would purchase some candles, and that in quiet reverence they would light those candles and walk around the city square. They were sometimes humming some hymns and sometimes saying some verses and just very quietly proceeding around in a form of testimony for the Lord. And as they began to walk around that city square, the communist soldiers were perched on the fifth and sixth floor rooftops of the buildings in the city square. And suddenly the order was given and gunfire began to crack out, and the first one to fall was the girl next to Dan, his friend, and her life instantly was taken away, and others were shot. Dan was shot in the leg. He told me as he laid there in a pool of blood, he thought his life was over. He thought he had no further chance to live for the Lord, and that His opportunity was now gone. Someone, however, drug him to the side of the building, and a few hours later to a hospital. A few days later, the pastor was able to get to the hospital and came to him and said, "Dan, I'm so sorry that you lost your leg." And Dan looked up at the pastor and he said these words. He said, "Pastor, don't be sorry for me. I was able to light the very first candle." And I want you to understand something today, that while God may not call you or me to give a leg, He is calling us at the very baseline of things to make a confession and to be willing to say that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we believe that He alone is the Savior, the Son of God. And this is the time, even here in America, as the ACLU threatens to take down more of the manger scenes, and as Christians are more and more timid, this is the time for us to stand up for Jesus Christ and confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The basis of our belief is the Word of God. And the baseline of your faith, if you have it, is that you tell others about it. You confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. But I want to share with you finally this morning the blessing of belief. The choir has challenged us this morning. Believe. I believe. There's a great blessing to someone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about this blessing, because the blessing is eternal life. Think of what the Scriptures tell us. The blessing is for all who believe. John 1 and verse 12. Think of these words. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." All right? Many of you know that verse. And if you don't know it, it's right there in your notes. So let's say that together. And again, let's not just hear it. Let's receive it from the Lord. John 1, 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become, even to them." So the blessing of relationship with God, the blessing of eternal life with God, is for as many as who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Now listen very carefully. I don't have power to get myself up to heaven, and neither do you. You don't have enough power. You don't have enough money to buy your way in. None of us have enough influence to manipulate our way in. There is no way that we can get ourselves into heaven. But as many as receive Jesus, the God-man, into their hearts, as many as trust in Him, to them God gives the power to become the sons of God. God welcomes us into His family. And I want you to understand this morning that salvation is for all who believe. Now, someone might say, "All right, Pastor Chapel, you're talking about believe. The choir sang about believe. But what exactly about Jesus do we need to believe?" And I want to sum it up for you very quickly, and listen very carefully. First, we must believe that we all need a Savior. We must believe that we need a Savior. Why? Because the Bible is clear about our condition. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, every one of us falls short of God's glory. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If our greatest need had been financial, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been educational, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been medical, God would have sent a doctor or a scientist. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and that's why God sent His Son to be our Savior. My friend, we must believe that we need a Savior, and all of us need a Savior, because none of us are perfect. You can sit in judgment all day long over another person, but my friend, as you point one finger to that person, there's three or four pointing right back to you yourself. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I heard about a little kid that ran into the kitchen. He was out of breath. He was shocked. He looked at his mother. He said, "Mom, we'd better tell Santa Claus to forget that train set I ordered. I just found one on the top of Dad's closet." Now, whether it's a mischievous little kid or a 50-year-old man in midlife crisis and living in immorality, it doesn't matter where you are, my friend. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of God's mark of perfection. And we must believe that we need a Savior. All of us need a Savior. God knew what we needed. That's why He sent Jesus. And then we must believe that Jesus pays for our sin. You must believe that Jesus Christ alone can pay for sin. Colossians 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, it was Jesus who came, Jesus who lived a perfect life, Jesus who shed his blood, Jesus who forgives sin. The Baptist church cannot forgive your sin. The Catholic church cannot forgive sin. Every pastor is a sinner. Every priest is a sinner. The Pope is a sinner. Sinners can't forgive sinners. Only the perfect Son of God could forgive your sin. And he shed his blood in order that our sins might be forgiven. Colossians 1 and verse 14. The Bible is very clear. We have redemption through his blood. You see, the Holy Ghost that came upon Mary and overshadowed Mary, the Bible tells us that the child in Mary was of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus was not conceived of the sinful Adamic line. There was no human father in this relationship, and thus he was the Son of God. And after living for 33 and a half years, when he died on that cross, when the Roman soldiers placed the nails through his hands, his feet, and pierced his side, and the crown of thorns upon his head, the blood that came flowing down was not blood like yours and mine, but it was the perfectly sinless blood of God that was shed, that is efficacious, that covers the sins of all the world. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why the songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I'm telling you this morning, it doesn't matter how bad off you've been. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or how immoral you've been or whether you've had an abortion or how filthy your mouth is. If you will repent of your sin, there is a Savior who will forgive you today, and he will give you a home in heaven. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Oh, listen, you must believe that you need a Savior, and you must believe that Jesus is the Savior. And let me just say this for our American culture today. You must believe that he is the exclusive Savior. Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, in this politically correct day, it seems like every politician wants to act like all religions are fine. Just pick one and do real good at it. And it seems like even some in the religious circles want to say, listen, you know, pick a religion and just find a way. And during this Christmas season, just really find a religion and follow it. But I want to tell you this morning, we are not here challenging you to believe in religion. We're not challenging you to believe in any religion. We are challenging you this morning from the basis of the Word of God to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none other name given under heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not one of the ways. He is the way. Say, well, I just think that's a very narrow message to preach. It's about as narrow as this book right here. And my friend, you and I have a choice to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone does make a choice. The atheist trusts in himself. The humanist trusts in himself. But we're challenging this morning that we ought to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. All who believe can have the blessing of an eternal relationship, and you can have it for all of eternity. Last Sunday morning, you heard about a man by the name of Simeon, a man who was in the temple awaiting the consolation of Israel, awaiting the opportunity to get a glimpse of Messiah. And the Bible says that when Jesus was presented by Mary and Joseph, that Simeon held Jesus in his arms and he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. The old man said, God, I'm ready to go to heaven now. I've seen my salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now let thy servant depart in peace. And I want you to understand this morning, no one is ready to depart this world in peace until they have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know how many hundreds of funeral services our church has conducted in my 28 years here as being pastor, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no peace for the wicked, but there's great peace for men and women who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Simeon said, now, Lord, I can depart in peace. Can you depart in peace? Do you know the blessing of eternal life, the blessing of a relationship with God in heaven? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace will never be found in trying to do good works. You'll never do good enough. Peace will never be found in our own merit. It is found in the merit of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You see, Jesus is God's gift to the world. Forgiveness is God's gift to you. And all you must do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will provide for you that wonderful gift. Oh, listen, today God wants you to have the greatest gift that has ever been provided, the gift of his Son, the gift of salvation. One man was talking recently and he said, hey, make this Christmas one you will not soon forget. Charge every gift. And that's one way to not forget this Christmas, but I'll give you a better way. Make this Christmas one that you'll not soon forget. Make this Christmas the one when you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just as an historical account like Shakespeare and Mahatma Gandhi, but where you believe that Jesus Christ alone can cover your sin, can give you a home in heaven, and for the first time in your life, you stop trusting yourself, your checkbook, your church, your grandpa was a Baptist preacher, or whatever else you trust in, and you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:18 sums it up. He that believeth on him, on Jesus, is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You say, well, I just don't know if I'll make any decision today. Not to make a decision is to make a decision. And my friend, I encourage you today, as the choir has encouraged us these last few moments, now I encourage you from the Word of God, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Well, I have a religion of my own. Are you saved? Well, I just don't know if that's the word I'd use. It's the Bible word. Are you saved? Do you know that there's been a day in your life when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's have our heads bowed. Father in heaven, thank you for this service this morning. Thank you for the message of faith and belief. Help us in these final moments to appropriate the truth to our own hearts as your Spirit leads now.